No, I've been busy on tour, dude. I missed like three interviews so far. It's fucking hard.
Welcome to As the Story Grows. I'm Brian Patton. Today we welcome Invent Animate frontman Marcus Vick to the podcast. Invent Animate's new album, Heavener, is out today on UNFD Records. Heavener is one of my favorite records of the year so far, so make sure you go give it a spin. New albums also out today. We have Gideon's More Power, More Pain on Equal Vision, and Chelsea Grin's Suffer in Heaven. Tons of cool stuff to check out today. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Marcus talks about touring in Europe as a European in an American band, leaving Aviana and joining Invent Animate, and what Heavener means to him. So I hope you guys enjoyed today's chat with Marcus Vick from Invent Animate. Where are you currently at?
We're in Switzerland, in Aarau.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm playing a show tonight. It's going to be great. Venue looking good. Yeah. Everyone is stoked.
That's awesome. How's tour been?
Tour's been good. Like, this tour has been great. I'm really happy Aarau are able to headline like this in Europe and actually, like, pull some people.
Yeah.
It's been great. It's not an easy thing to do for an American band to just show up and expect people to come. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is the first time headlining in Europe, and it's going pretty good. It's going very, very good. People are insane every night. They're doing very good.
That's rad. What's it like for you as a European in an American band touring in Europe? Is it like a weird?
It's sick. No, yeah. It's sick. I love it. Like, touring in Europe, I mean, that's pretty much how I started.
Yeah.
The whole touring thing. So it's nice to be back. This is our second time being in Europe with me as a vocalist.
Yeah.
We were here in November on the Never Say Die tour, and this is great. Pretty much the same venues almost. nothing too uncommon. But now it's definitely funnier because I feel like I'm the one that has to show everyone around a little bit. But it's not the case. It's definitely not the case. But that's pretty much how it feels.
Yeah, yeah. Cool.
We got to play Sweden, which was sick. All my friends were there and family, and we got to eat some Swedish cuisine and just have a good time. That was lovely.
Nice. Where did you grow up in Sweden?
I grew up in a small town called Norberg. There's pretty much like 6,000 people living there. Very, very small town.
Yeah.
Which was, I don't know, I had the best youth you could ask for, pretty much. Everything was pretty much perfect. I was like a stupid kid that had fun all the time and didn't care about anything until, like, I had to kind of start to be more serious about school and shit at the end. But, and then I just, after a while, I just met a girl, moved town. So now I live in a town called Västerås. Okay. Which is like an hour away from my hometown, but that's an actual town, so actual city.
Yeah,
which is cool. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
No, I love that place.
That's awesome. What got you into music?
I had a couple of friends who's been like screwing around with music for a while. They were rehearsing in the cellar of the youth center, in my hometown. Small youth center, and I was like, hey, I want to join, but I like they were playing like covers and stuff of like bands like Volbeat and all that shit. And I just joined in because I had heard the band Adept. It's a European, a Swedish band, local band. And I'm like, hey, I want to sound like that. And I started like screaming and shit. But we started doing like Suicide Silence, Volbeat, Adept, like Avenged Sevenfold, like pretty much anything. But after a while, we kind of formed a band.
Yeah.
And everyone was like on board, like, hey, let's write some songs and shit. And we started doing that. That's pretty much the start of it. And I was like 18, I think. Nice. So I'm pretty late on the ball.
Yeah. Yeah. What was the scene like there in Sweden? I've talked to various people that I've heard mixed things.
Yeah. That scene is pretty weird. It was mostly punk rock.
Yeah.
I think. Punk rock was a thing, like melancholy, fucking huge in Sweden. And but after a while, a couple of bands started to come up, like In Flames. It's always been there, but they've never been a part of any Swedish scene.
Yeah.
But then the band, that was like a real push for younger people to actually start, like starting metalcore bands and shit. Now, the scene is great, and there's not a lot of cities playing like local shows and stuff like that, but there's definitely bands that are doing great right now when it comes to metal, which is cool.
Yeah.
We got bands like Aviana, my old band, are doing great right now.
Yeah.
We have a band called Throne, which is doing absolutely good. A band called Alt. I think they're from Stockholm, all of them. Doing very, very good. Everyone loves them. Like, I heard about them from my bandmates. Like,
nice.
They're from America. Like, so I had no idea who they were. It's just insane. Everyone loves the Thal Viljarta sound, which is cool.
Yeah, yeah. Imminence is from there too, right?
Oh, fuck. I'm sorry. I'm friends with those guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, not friends. We know each other. We've been around each other a couple of times and various occasions, but they're definitely the best band in Sweden right now, to be honest. They're doing very well.
Yeah, they're great. How did Aviana get started?
I did a cover of Quantum Flux by Northlane, and like a vocal cover on YouTube, and a guy hit me up like, hey, wanna be in this thing we just started? And it was just a guy called Nicholas from Gothenburg, and he and his friends started like writing an album, but it didn't have a singer.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, sure. Like, why not? And we just wrote a whole and recorded an album, got management going and tours going, and everything was like booked and ready to go before we even dropped. We were a band. So we were like, hey, here's a package. Here's us. That was pretty cool. That's pretty much how we started. And then we just worked our asses off for like 1.5 year before I eventually quit.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much it. Like we really were in for the long run.
Nice. Where'd the name come from?
I think Aviana is like a boss in some game or something. Like Hearthstone or World of Warcraft or something like that.
Okay.
If I remember correctly, Sebastian, the guy who kind of came up with the name, it was the bassist at the time. It was just the right call. I was a little bit opposed because the band I had before was called Adriana Claims. So it was like very similar, but after a while it just made sense. Like, okay, I'm down for it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And now it just fits very well with the scenery of that band.
Yeah. Yeah. What led you to leaving that band?
I don't know. We wanted different things. They wanted to go heavier and more like, I think they wanted to do like more Deftones-y stuff. And I was not into that at the time. Now I fucking love it. But I wanted to do like softer shit. I wanted to sing more and stuff like that. So we just kind of went separate ways, I guess. And and I was like, okay, now I have a chance to do whatever I want. So I just bought a bunch of like keyboards and fucking plugins. And I was like, hey, I'm going to do electronic pop rock, like Aris style shit. Because that was my jam. That is my jam. I still listen to that a lot. The song is phenomenal. So I started doing that for like 2 months until I saw that Ben, Inman Animate singer, just left the band, because I knew him in Animate. We were like in the same pile of bands that kind of had a similar sound.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, fuck. And I realized I had Caleb, our bassist, on Facebook. And I was like, oh, fuck, am I doing this really? And I just told him, I said, like, hey, can I do an audition? It'd be cool. And like at the time, I kind of regretted it. Yeah. But then he was like, yeah, sure, we're going to hold up an auditions eventually, but you can do it now if you want to. And I did one. And they were like, hey, this is really good. We're going to keep you in the back pocket and keep doing open auditions and see if we can find anything. Like, and they didn't find anything. So they shot me a new message like, hey, here's our whole album instrumentally. Do whatever the fuck you want. Do full production. Do like lyrics, melodies. We want to see what you're like capable of when it comes to singing. Like what your voice can do. And I was like, all right, let's fucking do it. And I took a song called "This Soul Sleep" of the album Still World. And I was like, hey, this is the most, like the weirdest written song on that album. It's very technical, very, you have to focus to get along with that song. And I was like, I want to do that. I sent him a song and I'm like, hey, yeah, let's figure out how to do this. And I was just... we had a meeting, like, how the logistics is going to go, because obviously I'm not from Texas.
Yeah.
So we tried to figure that one out. And, it just made sense. Like, hey, they called me up eventually. And like, hey, do you want to do this? And I was like, yeah, sure. I was drunk. I was at a birthday party. So it was in the middle of the night for me. And they called me up. Like, wait, you want to do this? And I was like, yeah, sure. Let's do it. That's pretty much it.
That's rad. Has that dynamic been weird, like whether it's been like having to go to Texas to rehearse or like traveling to America to tour? Like, is it just a weird dynamic or is it something now that you've been doing it for what, 8 years or something? Like, this is just
normal? I don't know how long
it's been maybe not eight years.
I think it was 2019 was the first time I went to America. And I went there the first time to record the album. So I went to the studio. That was the first time I even went there. But I mean, yeah, it makes sense to me to travel before. I mean, I go there like a week before tour starts to rehearse and like do production and everything we need to do. But I also practice by myself in my own studio space. So I don't come there all fresh and green and practiced. But it works out great. I mean, they do the same thing when we tour Europe. They come to Germany, and I fly down to Germany and rehearse there and do production and shit. So it pretty much makes sense. Like, it's nothing weird at this point. It just feels very, very comfortable. And I'm blessed to be in a band that can afford, like, flight tickets for shit like that as well. Yeah. So I keep on walking the famous path. I'm broken to broken and down for return. Repeating the choices that I never had. An eye for an eye, a broken heart.
What was it like doing the track with Joel on the new Aviana record?
Dude, that was fucking great. I love that guy so much.
Yeah,
actually fun. I think the track itself wasn't like that, was just me doing like a feature in my own studio. He was like, hey, do whatever the fuck you want, has the lyrics, that's kind of what I thought. And I was like, all right, we just recorded it. It turned out cool. He didn't have anything opposed. He was like, yeah, let's run with it, sounds great. Kind of on the same page with the whole thing, because it's a fucking crazy track.
Yeah.
But the fun part was doing the video, because we live not too far. Wait, we live far from each other, but me and their manager and all the other crew members live very close to each other. So we just went to this fucking forest, set up a tent and just had me dragging Joel across the forest for a whole day. It was fucking fun.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I remember the day after, like, my muscles were all sore, because he's, like, I'm very, very small and fragile, and he's, like, more, like, a little bit more robust than
me. Yeah.
It was kind of fun.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was fucking hilarious. I love spending time with all of them. We're all very good friends. I met them when we played in Sweden, which was fucking cool. Most of them were there to check it out.
Well, how was COVID for the band? You guys put out Graveview in 2020. I mean, like right as the pandemic's hitting. So how did that affect you guys?
I think how COVID affected the band made me believe everything happens for a reason a little bit. I started thinking of that because it definitely sucked for our album release because we couldn't tour the album properly. But it also like made us push towards a new image a little bit, and it made us like, okay, we have to record something ourselves. That's what when the EP happened.
Yeah.
And by recording that ourselves opened up so much, so many doors to do it as exactly as we want. And I'm very happy with that release. That was the first big step with me as a vocalist in the band. We really used me in a new sense that we didn't use on the album, because the album was just like a test thing, obviously. But no, after that, and we started to write the new album, and then we're about to release on the 17th. That was just like, hey, how do we do this shit? Because we were supposed to record like screaming and singing with the producer, but we ended up doing screaming. Like I ended up doing screaming myself in Texas, and we did singing with the Landon Tours from the Blood New, most of the singing. And it just turned out better than we could have hoped for. The guys did all the guitars, because they're all, both Caleb, Keaton, and Trey are phenomenal songwriters. They're all very creative and hardworking. So I'm blessed to be in a group with them as well. And it just turned out fucking good. And I'm very, very, like, this is the first time I'm like, oh, okay, I'm a little bit proud of this. You know what I mean? No, I like, this is an album that I like. We finished the album this summer, and to this day I still listen to it like almost every day, which is cool.
How'd you guys get connected with UNFD?
We were in the ballpark to finding a new label for this album and future albums, we were just checking out most of them. I mean, everybody in the scene has heard of UNFD. They were just about to, like, they just came from nowhere and just rocked the socks out of a lot of other labels and doing very well. And we had open, like, chats with a lot of the the labels that, like, make sense for us. But UNFD just, it just felt better. It felt good. Like, it, they had stuff the other labels didn't. And I don't know. It just, it felt safe in a way. They were, I think they just signed Era before us, and we're very good friends with Era, and they talked very well of them, et cetera. So I think that made sense for us pretty much.
Like you said, the album's out the 17th. It's called Heavener. Where'd the title come from?
I think Heavener as a name came from, I think it's a city or something in Texas. And the boys talked about, Keaton talked about just driving past it on the beginning of a tour or something. It was just Heavener, and he was like, oh my God, that makes so much sense. And like, just took that as an album name, and pretty much, I don't know. And then we made that name make sense and have meaning afterwards, pretty much, which is Heavener to me. I think we all have different meanings of the name Heavener, but Heavener to me is like a pit stop before moving on when it comes to like grief, or when it comes to like surviving trauma and shit. So it's like, it's what happens after, it's the first, it's what happens when you take the first step to retribution and to really changing. So that's what it means to me, pretty much. And I think if you look at the album cover, that like entity ghost thingy, the shiny person, I think that's the person that's at the pit stop. I was talking to the guys about maybe naming that character Reverie, for the, because the Reverie is like a pit stop in the album as well. It's like an it's like a some kind of interlude, but with vocals on it. And if that person is Reverie, then that person stands in the center of Heavener, which is in the middle of the album, pretty much. And just gives you a little push to move on, pretty much. Yeah. It's where you stop, breathe, take in the scenery, look at the entity, look at what's around it, what's behind it, before moving on, I think.
Yeah.
I think this whole meaning behind the album, this has grown on me. It's made me, like, since we did it, I've been thinking about it a lot. I don't know why. This has never happened to me. I kind of just see the name, the art, and I'm like, okay, this looks cool, sounds cool, but that's it. But this time around, it's been more like, it kind of makes sense more and more that I think about it.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Is that kind of how the lyrics flow on the record? From like a darkness and grief into like overcoming?
Yeah, there's definitely songs that like Immolation of Night is kind of a positive song in a sense when it comes to lyrics, which is crazy because it's the most insane song of the album. but yeah, it's definitely like a lot of songs about grief, personal grief. A lot of songs is about like identity crisis. A lot of songs are about finding bliss and like what is bliss and shit like that. So it's definitely a journey, I would say. It's not a concept album, but it's a journey, I would say.
Yeah,
that's pretty much it, I guess.
Do you think those themes like kind of blossomed because we all had this time of lockdown where we were had more time to process and think and not just go, go, go all the time, and that comes out in the music, or the lyrical concept?
I
mean,
definitely happened to me. My grandfather passed away when I was like 15, I think, but I didn't process it at all. We were close. It just happened. I'm like, okay. And I kind of just moved on instantly, I thought. And then I would turn 26 at the beginning of the pandemic. And it just hit me a little bit. Like, it's just like, oh my God. Like, I started to remember like how it looked at the funeral. Like, I was the only one there. Like, me and my sister's boyfriend were, like, just sitting there. Like, didn't cry. Everyone else cried. It was just insane. And then, so it was, like, some kind of postponed grief. Like, 11 years postponed, which is kind of crazy. I just wrote a song. I wrote Elysium about that. And, and that kind of sparked ideas for other songs as well. I know Keaton has a song that's about his grief. And I know Trey has a song about his grief. And it's pretty... I don't think it sparked the general idea of the album, but for me, it definitely made the album make more sense to me, in a way.
Yeah.
But same with the entity and the title and all that. Yeah. So that's why it's a good thing that Elysium is the last song on the record. It's like a pit stop. It's the actual stop of the record. Yeah, because it's so postponed.
Who did the album artwork for you guys?
I am the worst person in the world to ask shit like that. I don't know his name. I don't know his name. The only thing I know is he did a good fucking job. It turned out really great from the start. Like, first idea, it's so odd. It's so like, I don't know. I haven't seen anything like it. Like in that style. It was just like, we're suckers for having shit that no one else has, even if it sucks, you know what I mean? We just want it to be special a little bit, and let's see, like, maybe people will learn to like this, I don't know. And if they do, it's a cool thing. Like, some kind of trend setter thing.
Yeah. What's the rest of this year look like after you finish this European tour? Record is out next Friday.
We got the only thing that's in the books right now. We're trying to put together a headliner for late this year. And it looks good so far. And then we have one thing that's booked and published. We're doing like a B market thing in America with Bad Omens and Era. Okay. It's going to be sick. We're very excited. Big venues, big bands. It's going to be, gonna be sick. And I think that's it. We're going to try and write some music this year as well. We definitely started writing some music. We did it the other day. Maybe put out some kind of deluxe edition of the album or something. But yeah, just trying to do everything we can with this album this whole year. Like, see if we can alter it and like, use it in a cool sense. I don't want to say too much.
All right.
I'm like tipping on my toes here.
I got you. Awesome, man. Anything else you want to say about the band or the record?
I'm just so excited for people to hear this record. This record definitely, like, everyone I've shown it to has always said, like, everyone has chosen a different favorite song. And, if I showed it to my girlfriend, she had one favorite song. Like, he showed it to a friend, he has a different, like, it's very, like, is versatile a word?
Mm-hmm.
It sounds good.
Yeah.
It's like very, very like split up into different pieces for everyone to live to love and like. And I'm just very excited for people to hear this shit.
Thanks for listening to As the Story Grows. Our intro music was written and composed by Jeremy Hunt. The As the Story Grows theme is by Bob Nana. If you like what you hear, subscribe wherever you get your podcast and give us a rating and review. If you'd like to support the show financially, you can join us at patreon.com/asthestorygrows. Be a part of our community and join the ongoing conversation over on Discord. If you enjoy this episode, share it on social media with your friends. Much appreciated, and thanks for listening. I never felt so young and alive as when I'm diving into a sea.